How is it with your soul? That's an interesting greeting, isn't it? How is it with your soul? It's portentous sounding, maybe a little ominous even. John Wesley was an Anglican priest, and he had this idea that there could be a method by which Christians pursued a deeper and better relationship with God, even a perfection of soul. And he would meet with his prayer groups and study groups that he called bands. And Wesley would begin all of his band meetings with the phrase, "How is it with your soul?" It's a great question because, you know, if you stand up in front of a group of people and say, "How's everyone doing tonight?" It's really easy for us to all smile and nod. "Yeah, I'm good. But when John Wesley would start his band time by saying, "How is it with your soul?" it requires a deeper degree of consideration, deeper degree of meditation. It requires you to give a serious and honest answer, almost to give an accounting for where your soul is. It's sort of a wellness check for your soul. It's like the Holy Spirit knocks on the door of your heart and goes, "Is everybody okay in there?" And that is how Wesley used to begin his band meetings. And so here we are on this evening, and here we are in the entryway to Lent. Lent is one giant question asking, how is it with your soul? It's a wellness check. It's that moment when we all take 40 days, and Lent is 40 days because you don't technically count the Sundays in the season of Lent, and we spend intentional time pondering the nature of our hearts, asking questions, important questions. We ask important questions during the season of Lent. One of the questions I oftentimes get asked before the season of Lent begins, it's a very important question. People will ask me, "Does Ash Wednesday fall before or after Valentine's Day?" Because, boy, let me tell you what, the character of that box of chocolates is significantly different if Valentine's Day comes after Ash Wednesday. And instead of handing a box of sweets to your loved one, you've just handed them a box of temptation. Not that everybody gives up chocolate for Lent. Some people give up all sorts of things or take up all sorts of things. And we're going to talk about that tonight. But it is the nature of this gospel text that we have with us tonight from the Gospel of Matthew. Jesus is looking at his disciples and he's talking about spiritual disciplines, ways that we encounter and engage with God. And he's asking them to examine their hearts. In fact, at the very, very end, concerning treasures, Jesus talks exceptionally about the condition of your heart. And he ends with this incredible phrase, "Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." During the season of Lent, you may give something up. You may take up a spiritual discipline. And there's all sorts of things that I've seen, very creative things. Seen some incredibly creative things people were doing for Lent. You know, there's the standards. You give something up that you enjoy, that is a significant portion of your life. Maybe you give up fast food. Not only is it something that you will miss, but it's also something that maybe will make your schedule really uncomfortable. Maybe you don't like fast food, and instead you've chosen to give up social media. I did that one year. I felt much better afterwards. In fact, I really didn't go all the way back on social media after that. You may give up something of significance in your life. Now, this is where I recommend to everyone that you think carefully about what your spiritual discipline is, because it is useful for that spiritual discipline to be a challenge. Because if you give up Brussels sprouts, and you hate Brussels sprouts, that Lenten discipline is getting you exactly nowhere. Because there should be some degree of struggle involved in the process. Because what we are doing is asking the question, how is it with our soul? And rather specifically, where is my heart? And again, Fortunately, Valentine's Day has come and gone, so danger there is past. But I think it's important to note that when we're talking about the word heart in the Bible, it has a very specific meaning. You know, like I said, with Valentine's Day, I think we think of heart, and we think associated with love, and maybe even romance. You know, the word heart appears in the Bible over 1,000 times. Every biblical author talks about your heart, our heart, the heart of the nation, the heart of a person, my experience in my heart, over and over and over again. But what does heart mean to the biblical authors? It's something much more than just the seat of your love and romance. The authors of the Bible understood the heart to mean your deepest being. At the very core of who you are is your heart. That part of you that you don't show to other people, except in the most acceptable ways, because let's be honest, we don't show our heart to other people, do we? We show the part of our heart that we want them to see, again, sort of like social media, but we don't show them the totality of our heart because there are things in there that maybe we're not comfortable with. So when the biblical authors talk about our heart, they're talking about who you are at your deepest. Your biblical heart is who you are. Lenten disciplines. The disciplines we take on during the season of Lent are about uncovering where our heart is. Because here's a crazy thing. You would think that something so fundamental to our being would be something that we would have in our sights at all times. But I'm going to tell you what. Human beings lose track of their heart all the time. We forget where it is. We misplace it. We get it lost. It gets cluttered. We can't find it. We don't remember it. We find ourselves doing, saying, and thinking things that we don't even understand ourselves, because we're not quite sure where our heart is. During the season of Lent, we take up discipline, whether it's giving something the value of to us up, whether it's taking up something important. This is about how we find where God is with regard to our heart. It is an answer to the question, how is it with your soul? And in the process of this, we try to figure out what our treasures are. And treasures mean different things to different people. And I think one of the problems that I have with Lenten disciplines and people uncovering where their heart is and understanding where their treasures are is more often than not when I talk to people, they have a fundamental misunderstanding about what that is. Say, where is your heart? Where is your treasure? And I will have people that think deeply about that. I'm like, well, I'm not a very materialistic person. I don't really care about money. Don't care about possessions. I can have an old car. I can have an old house. Doesn't matter to me. I don't need to be popular. I don't need to be famous. I don't need to be beloved by my neighbors. I don't need to be lauded or patted on the back. I think my treasures are in all the right places. That's good. That is fantastic. That is wonderful. Because we, as humans in this world, can be very inclined to let our hearts become cluttered with the treasures of this world, whether it's money or comfort or the trappings of success or popularity or whatever it is. But that's not the totality of treasure. In fact, I would actually argue that the treasures that hold people back from figuring out where their heart is and then orienting your heart towards God look nothing like those things. Let's be honest. Nobody in this room, to the best of my knowledge, come talk to me afterwards if it is the case, is a billionaire. None of us probably are millionaires. Most of us are probably doing our best. But we probably are not people out there living the absolute richest lives. You ever watch the television show Hoarders? It's a fascinating TV show to watch if you've not watched it. It's a TV show where they go into people's homes who have a hoarding disorder, it's a psychological disorder, and they help them try to readjust their life to undig out their homes. And if you've never had the experience with a friend, a loved one, or someone who is a hoarder, you don't understand how this works. Because you can watch the program and think to yourself, well, why don't they just clean their house? Why don't they just go invest in 3 or 4 boxes of black plastic trash bags from Sam's and just go in and get rid of all that stuff? Ought to be easy, right? But it isn't. Watch the show. They agonize. Every piece of garbage that comes out of that house, no matter how rank or old or ancient or tattered or torn or clearly no longer of any value, they look at it and say, well, I think I could fix that, or I could make that work, or I remember when I got that, or, oh, no, that's still good, I can wash that out. And it's really hard to get them to put things on that throwaway tarp, isn't it? Why? Because they have a warped understanding of what makes a thing valuable. They cannot discern the difference between treasure and trash. And in fact, the trash is treasure. I would argue that when Jesus is talking to his disciples and saying, where your treasure is, there your heart will be, it is far less likely for a person to be struggling with, I'm so vain because I'm beautiful, or I'm so rich, I don't know what to do with all this money, I think I'll take myself on vacation again. I find far fewer Christians struggling with that, and far more Christians who have allowed their heart to become choked with life's garbage. Fears, anxieties, doubts. Evil, awful ways of talking about themselves. Self-loathing, anger, grudges. And boy, let me tell you what, it is hard to get people to give, it's as hard to get humans to give up those treasures as it is to get a hoarder to let go of that coffee table tray from 1973 that's missing a leg. And you're like, just throw it out. See, our Lenten discipline should be uncovering the garbage. Our Lenten discipline should be throwing open the doors to our heart and looking in and taking a serious look and saying, what are my treasures? What have I surrounded myself with? What is it that I have made matter most in my life? Where is my heart at? Because here's the thing. When Jesus is talking to the disciples here, and he's talking to them about almsgiving and praying and fasting and having these great treasures, he's saying these things are fabulous and fantastic treasures. He says you want to do these things not like the hypocrites. By the way, the word that gives us the word hypocrite is the same Greek word that gives us the word for actor in Greek. Jesus here is saying, don't let your righteousness be performative. You're not doing this to get everybody's attention. You're not doing this so other people look at you and say, oh, wow, look how great they're doing. You're not doing this to convince other people that you're all right. This isn't a mask you put on so that the world thinks you're fine. We do these Lenten disciplines in order that our Father might take that empty space that we've cleared out in our hearts, where the treasure of this world no longer is, place his own blessings, his own hope, his own strength, his own presence in that space. As we take upon ourselves our Lenten disciplines, whatever it is that you choose, let it be a discipline that opens the door to your heart and asks the question, how is it with my soul? And then let it be something that exposes your heart to the Word, exposes your heart to the grace and mercy of God, and then lays bare all the treasures that you think matter most. And then maybe, in the process, we start to declutter. We start to throw away. We pull out that big black trash bag from Sam's and we start dumping the garbage in. So that when the space is opened up around our heart, God can begin to pour his blessings. Because how can God bless us? How can God make us whole? How can God truly make us new if there's no space in our life for God? We don't do Lent alone. Lent is not about self-discipline. This is not a diet. It's not a decluttering. It's not about getting healthy because you're running a mile a day. Lent is about walking with God. Lent is about letting God into our hearts and asking him for the help to do the things we can't do on our own. The things that we should have done, could have done, but didn't do. That now, if we invite God into our lives, he will do with us. Lent is about journeying together. It is a journey of discovery. And so as we are here on this Ash Wednesday night, and we gather together with each other, and we hear the words of the Gospel of Matthew reminding us not to be actors in our own lives. We are not to be performative of in our faith, but that God is calling us to do something real and significant. He is marking us with his cross tonight. Stamp and indicating that he is present with us and that he walks with us. May we all give serious consideration to the question, how is it with your soul? And then seek where your treasure is and let God find you a new treasure. Amen.